Hi there, this is Darren Spoo, pastor at First Baptist Church in Tulsa, and welcome to our weekly message podcast. We would invite you to join us in person Sunday morning at 8:30 and 11 o'clock in downtown Tulsa, or check out our webpage at tulsafbc.org. God bless you, and have a great week.
Father, there's so many things we enjoy about this season. The simple songs that we sing together that remind us of what's truly important. Gifts that we get to give and receive and exchange, and just the joy of relationships. But if we're alike in this room in one regard, is that we live too busily during this time of year. So help us to stop and to savor and to look around and appreciate the people that are in our lives and the situation in life where you have us, and help us to slow down and truly to experience what it is to know you, Christ, as our King. It's in Jesus' name that we offer our prayer and we offer our lives these last days before Christmas. Amen. Thanks so much. You may have a seat. So I love singing some Christmas carols, one of my favorite parts of Christmas. Also, you know, I mentioned this, that we enjoy receiving gifts. So every year I like to pick one gift that a church member has given me and say, this is my favorite this year. Now, let me tell you this, that absolutely the best gift you could give me, and I encourage this as we do this for other people that have a lot of stuff, best gift you could give me and a lot of people is just make a gift to Meals on Wheels, make a gift to John 3:16, something like that, that practically serves the needs of others. But then I have a few people that rebel against that, and they get me a gift anyway. And so usually it's with a little bit of humor to it. So this is a board game that was given by a person not in this service. So y'all need to step up your game a little bit, you know, just a little. But it's a game called Exploding Kittens. If you don't know me, you know I don't much care for cats. So Exploding Kittens, a card game for people who are into kittens and explosions and laser beams. What's not to like about this game? Okay. So just to know, I believe that kittens are God's creation and their destiny is to be exploded. I just want to let you know that. Okay. So best gift so far this year. So we have, many of you know that we have an NFL referee that attends church here with his family and has for a number of years. And recently he came and spoke to our Memory Cafe. And our Memory Cafe is a wonderful ministry for those who deal with dementia and those who are dealing with Alzheimer's. And not only those individuals, but their caregivers. It's a safe place where everyone knows what's going on in life, that you're dealing with Alzheimer's, and you can come and enjoy a good program, good food, and some wonderful fellowship together. So he was speaking to our group at our Memory Cafe, and he said, you know, when I got called up to be a ref in the NFL, what I didn't realize is that so much of the training I would have to go through had nothing at all to do with football. We're trained on what to do during a terrorist event, or what to do if we have protesters on the field, or what to do when we have streakers that run onto the field. And he said, we're trained to handle male streakers and female streakers differently, okay? So I turned to a friend that was standing next to me and I said, listen, in case on Sunday morning somebody wants to streak, if they're a female, I'll handle it, no problem. But if they're a dude, they're all yours, all right? So just everyone keep your clothes on and we'll be fine, right? But as he spoke, I started thinking about this. It really is true in most areas of life that are important. If we're not careful, it's easy to become concerned about everything else but what you're supposed to be focused on. So when you're a ref in football, right, you should be focused on football. That should be the focus, but you get distracted by so many other things. I think the same thing is true in the church, and we need to be careful that if we're not careful, we can become concerned about so many things that have nothing at all to do with Jesus Christ, right? We can become concerned about the, you know, the comfort of our seating rather than how God, you know, wants to conform our image. We become more concerned about the songs we sing than the state of our heart. We become more concerned about getting our way rather than giving away our life. We become more concerned with things of the ego rather than things of the spirit. And I was talking to a fellow pastor not too long ago, and I just, personal word, I said, you know what I miss most about going to church as a pastor? And I signed up for this. I said, you know what I miss most? I miss most walking into a church, and the only thing I was concerned about was how can I love Jesus more? It seems that we become distracted by so many things that are non-essential. And am I naive enough to believe that if a church really wanted to, a church could say, you know what we're going to focus on is how to love God more, how to love people better, and how to serve our world and share Jesus with everyone I meet. Don't you think that it's possible for a church to choose that and to become that? I want us to become that church, okay? And if it happens, it won't be because of my leadership, but because of the Spirit of God moving among us. And a great time to remember that is this season that we're in right now, the Advent season, because Christ is coming into the world. For God so loved the world that he sent his only Son. This is the central message. This is what God is concerned about. And we look at the people in the swirl of the Christmas story, and it would have been so easy for them to get distracted by so many other things, but they didn't. Mary was overwhelmed. Joseph was uncertain. The Magi were in over their heads. But in all of that, they said, what is God doing? And how can we be a part of that? And then they just did the next thing that God put in front of them. So today we're making our last stop before Christmas Eve. And it's with a group of people called the shepherds. Now, if there ever was a group of people in the Bible who are nobodies, it's the shepherds. You remember Gregory Peck? You remember the old actor Gregory Peck? My wife loves Gregory Peck. He walked into a restaurant one time with a friend, and it was overcrowded. It was full. Every table was taken. And the friend said, just tell them who you are, and we'll get a table. And Gregory Peck said this. He said, if you have to tell people who you are, then you're a nobody. And I believe that's true. These shepherds are nobodies. And we'll talk about them here in just a minute. I mean, they were people on the edge. They were people on the margins of culture and of society. But these nobodies have something very significant to tell us. So I'm just going to walk through this passage. We're going to stop at a couple of words that I really like in this passage as we read about the shepherds. By the way, Jesus was not born on December 25th. Can I tell you that? I think most of us know that. Likely Jesus was born in the fall because that's when the shepherds would have been on the field. I think Jesus was born on October 5th. For reasons I'll explain to you later. Why do we celebrate Christmas this time of year? It's because there is a pagan Roman festival called Sol Invictus. And on December 25th, if you pay attention to what's happening in the sky around you right now, December 21st is the shortest day of the year. The light grows less and less and less. But then on the 22nd and the 23rd and the 24th and the 25th, the days start to get longer again. The light makes a resurgence. So I've got no problem celebrating Christmas on December 25th because we have surrounding us a reminder that the darkness will not win, that light is coming into our world, and that in the person of Jesus Christ. In the same regions, shepherds were staying out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock at night. The angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Don't be afraid. For look, I proclaim to you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today, in the city of David, which is Bethlehem, is born to you someone who is the Messiah, who is the Lord. And this will be a sign. You will find the baby wrapped tightly in cloth and lying in a manger." Suddenly. By the way, in this whole passage, that's my favorite word right there. We'll come back to it in just a minute. Suddenly, there was a multitude of the heavenly host with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven and peace on earth to the people that he favors." I want to go back to that word suddenly. Do any of you, kind of do a little raise of hands here with me. Do any of you play a game around your house? Have you tried to scare your husband or your wife or your kids? It's kind of like this ongoing game of jumping out behind doors. Nobody? Y'all need to have a little more fun at the house, right? This is a lot of fun, right? So we just kind of have this ongoing game. Mostly it's with my kids of jumping out behind doors, and we kind of surprise one another. I don't need to try to scare my wife because I do all the time. You know, I just walk into the bedroom and she jumps. And I'll say the same thing. I'll say, "You know I've been in the house all day. You know I'm here, right?" Yeah. He said, "I know. I just didn't expect you to be here at this particular moment." So when the angels appear, The shepherds are afraid. They're startled. They're surprised. And I could hear God saying, you know I'm in the universe, right? But the shepherds just didn't expect for God to be there in their field at this particular night, paying attention to them. Why? Because the shepherds were low people on the totem pole of life. They were people who were stuck. If you feel stuck in life right now, the shepherds can be your patron saints. This was a job, and I have nothing at all against any job that a person would have. If you're making an honest living, that's good for you. But my first job was working at a fast food joint. I worked at Burger King, right? And there's something about working at Burger King when you're 14. There's another thing about working at Burger King when you're 49, okay? There's just kind of a feeling if that's what you do. And again, an honest living's an honest living. I do not want to degrade that. But if you could imagine living a life that like that, then you know what it would be to be stuck. They were also low. They were looked down upon. Typically in a family, what they would do is the firstborn son was the favorite kid, right? The lastborn son was the one who was given all the dirty work. You remember David was the seventh of seven sons. And so where was he? His brothers were off at war in glorious conflict, and he was out with the sheep in the field. So how many of you are the youngest child, male or female? You're the youngest child in your family. Let me see your hands. Okay. So those of you raising your hands, we would have been out with these shepherds in the field. And we would know yet again that the baby of the family is always treated worse than anybody else, right? We're always taken advantage of. We're always, yeah. Yeah, you oldest siblings, you don't know what it's like to be wounded like we're wounded, right? So they're stuck, they're low, and they're forgotten. I wonder how many times, if you live a hard life, die an early death, and in between you're spending most of your time with sheep, you're going to wonder if anyone really loves you at all. Suddenly, the heavens part, and to these stuck, lowly, forgotten people, God gives some of the best news ever heard by any human ears anywhere. For to you, a child is born. I want to step into history for just a moment. Queen Victoria, you've heard of the Victorian era, right? When an entire era is named after you, you're an important person. Queen Victoria in the late 1800s, early 1900s, she was Queen of England. She had a wonderful romance with Prince Albert, and he died way too young, right? And she missed him tremendously. In fact, just a little bit of trivia, it was Queen Victoria who first wore a white wedding dress. And we've modeled that ever since, right? So she defined an age, and she, in many ways, defined romance. Well, early in her marriage with Prince Albert, they got into a little tiff. They got into an argument, and Prince Albert stormed off into another room and shut the door. And Queen Victoria followed him, and she banged on the door, and she said, "This is the Queen of England, and she demands that you open this door." No response. She banged again. Prince Albert said, "Who is it?" "This is the Queen of England, and she demands that you open the door." Silence. She banged a third time, said the same thing. No response. Finally, on the fourth time, she knocked gently. Prince Albert said, "Who is it?" "Albert, it's your wife." And he opened the door. Men, don't try that at home. Just a little note, right? Here is the King of the universe, the God of all creation. It would have been within his right to bang down the door of creation and to demand that we pay attention to him. But instead, the God of the universe taps very gently, and he comes in the form of a baby. Suddenly. Now I want you to see the shepherd's response. When the angels had left them and they returned to heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go. Let's go straight to Bethlehem and see what has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found both Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And after seeing them, they reported the message they were told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And here's a little footnote and why I like Mary so much. She's such a contemplative. But Mary was treasuring up all these things. She was taking some good mental snapshots and meditating on them. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all that they had seen and heard, which was just as the Lord had told them. So whenever I meet with our teaching team, and we usually meet about 2 weeks out from the time that I deliver a message, if we're dealing with a familiar passage of Scripture like this, I'll typically ask one question of the teaching team. I'll say, tell me something I don't know. Tell me something I haven't heard before, right? Now, it's not that I have complete knowledge of any passage of Scripture and not that I can exhaust the truth, but typically with familiar passages like this, we tend to walk down familiar footpaths and talk about what we've talked about before. And I believe if God is infinite, His Scripture is also infinite in its insight and its application. So one of our teaching team members said this. He said, have you ever noticed in this passage that the shepherds were never commanded to go to Bethlehem? They were never commanded, go to Bethlehem and see. They were just told the good news. And then it was up to them whether or not they went. It seems that as God taps gently on creation's door and He introduces Himself, even though He is the Almighty King in the form of a baby, He doesn't force us to go looking for Him. He just says, here I am. And you can look for me if you choose to, if you want to. But I'm right here, right in front of you. And I think that's what's admirable about the shepherds, that when God surprises us, and it's my prayer that for each and every one of us over this Christmas season, that God will surprise us in some way, that we will seek Him, and that we will seek Him with a sense of urgency and excitement. Let me ask you this. Is your relationship with God the most urgent thing in your life right now? If you're like me, it's the time of year that everything else is more urgent. Could we listen to the words of Jesus again? Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who want God more than they want the next breath. That they want Jesus more than they want the next party. That they want Jesus more than they want the next obligation. A sense of urgency. A sense of excitement. That following Jesus is an adventure. When we surrender our lives, we never really know where Jesus is going to take us. We can guess, but we'll probably be wrong. And so we have the excitement of surrendering our lives to someone who has infinite wisdom, more wisdom than we could imagine. And that the shepherds also, they followed Jesus with a sense of determination. They weren't going to let anything stop their seeking of Christ. Perhaps you remember the name Howell Forgy. He was the chaplain aboard the cruiser New Orleans on December 7th, 1941, when Pearl Harbor was bombed by the Japanese. Hal Forgy was the chaplain. He wasn't really a soldier. He was a chaplain on board this ship. And when the bombing began, they discovered that the man who had the key to the artillery room was on shore. They broke into the artillery room. And upon breaking in, they discovered that the lift for the ammunition lift was out of commission. It was broken. And so Hal Forgy, the chaplain, he formed a human chain with the other sailors. And they began to pass the ammunition up topside so they could return fire. And it was Hal Forgy who gave that signature phrase. As he saw the sailors, their arms were getting weary, he started saying over and over again, praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. That was him, right? Many of us are just tired this time of year. Praise the Lord and do the next thing. Even when God surprises you, praise the Lord and do the next thing. Seek Him with a sense of urgency. Praise the Lord and do the next thing. Seek Him with a sense of excitement. Praise the Lord and do the next thing. Seek Him with determination. And God has left that choice completely up to you. So here's part of the story that we don't think about. Once the shepherds went to the manger scene and they saw the child wrapped in clothes, Once they went to Bethlehem, then they went back to their fields and back to a life that felt very much stuck. They felt very low still, socially, economically. They felt probably very forgotten by the people in their lives. So in a manner of looking at it, nothing had changed for the shepherds, but now everything had changed because they realized that the God of the universe had spoken directly to them, as he wants to speak directly to each and every one of us here in this room this morning. Are you seeking? Are you listening? Are you looking for something? It's your choice. You can seek wherever you want to, or you can seek the God of the universe who happens to have come to us in Jesus Christ. One last story. William Howe played Major League Baseball in the late 1880s and the early 1900s. He was deaf and mute. And this is the cruelty of another age. He played with a team called the Washington Statesmen. They no longer exist, right? Now we would call them the Senators. It's a whole different ball club, but that was the team at the time. And because he was deaf and because he was mute, and again, the cruelty of another age, his teammates called him Dummy. That was his nickname. But he was an expert base stealer. And so over the course of his career, he gained a great reputation and a lot of respect. But because he was deaf, he couldn't hear the calls of the umpire. And so the league made a concession that the umpires would start using this for strike, start using this for out, and start using this for safe. It was all because of this one man. And even after he left the league, the signs stuck so that not only the players, but everyone in the farthest part of the stadium could see the signs and know what has happened. So I know the way the human psyche works because I do this sometimes. God, the world is so loud. I need to hear you. Would you give me a sign? God, I'm so busy. I'm listening to so many voices. I'm almost deaf to your voice. Would you give me a sign? And we think that God is going to give some kind of marquee sign to us to get our attention. The only sign that God is ever going to give is one that he has already given. This is a sign for you. That for you today, in the city of David, a Savior has been born, who is Christ the Lord. And God's not going to bang down the door of all creation. He's come as a baby, wrapped in cloths and lying in a feeding trough. And what does this baby say? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, on you, peace. Would you stand together and let's pray together. Father, thank you for allowing us to sense your presence right here in this room today. And for those who have prayed before and maybe even prayed this week, God, I'm looking for a sign. Would you give me a sign? Would we see the same sign that the shepherds saw, and that of a simple baby who is God incarnate, God in the flesh? And this baby would grow up to teach truth. And this baby would grow up to show us how life is lived. And this baby would grow up to pay the cost for sin. Jesus, I truly believe that what brought you to the cradle was not the sin of humanity. It was your love. And what took you to the cross was not the sin of humanity. It was your love. So help us to experience the depth and the breadth of your love for us today. And help us to not miss the sign that is right in front of us. God, you have spoken to us in the past and many times and in various ways. But in these last days, you have spoken to us by your Son. He is our sign. We remember that Jesus Christ did not come to call the righteous, but sinners just like me, and that we can experience the power of repentance and a changed life. And Jesus, you give the glorious invitation that if we are weary and life feels heavy, we can come to you and have rest, knowing that whoever comes to you, you will never reject. Help us to experience that this season in the name of Jesus Christ, who is our sign and our Savior. Amen.
Thanks so much for listening to our weekly message podcast. At the end of each worship service on Sunday morning, I offer a simple blessing, and I offer that blessing to you today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face shine upon you, and may God grant you peace, both now and forever. Amen.